And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. We're very pleased to have a special guest on the program today. And of course, that's the newly elected MP for Hamilton Mountain, Scott Duvall. I think he's on the line with us now. Scott, are you here with us today?
Hi, Brandon. Nice to hear from you.
Well, it's great to hear from you, and I know it's busy time. Stelco, the pension struggle, all of these issues are big in the news right now. It's in The Spectator. It's probably on CBC Hamilton. People are talking about it, and they're very concerned about the present and future of thousands and thousands of Hamilton pensioners, people that rely on these pensions that were struggled and fought for, and that all the controversy and decision-making around U.S. Steel. You've been heavily involved in and you're very concerned also about this process. And I thought it's time to update the listeners on what's going on. The bankruptcy proceedings and process has been an ongoing process in this city for quite a number of years now, 2004, 2006, the CCAA, everything that happened after that, U.S. Steel. But it seems there's some consistent issues here, and I guess one of them is that the... A basic problem here we have in the bankruptcy process in Canada in general. It seems to be the case that workers or pensioners, their interests don't come first. They might even come last. So I'm wondering if you could comment on how that plays out at U.S. Steel.
Sure, Brennan. So the CCAA Act, which is the Company Creditors Arrangement Act, came into law about 1930, and that was to help big companies, instead of claiming insolvency or bankruptcy or going into bankruptcy, come up with a plan so they could file for protection and come up with a plan to its creditors. But this is only, you can only enter this program if you're more than $5 million, you owe more than $5 million. So it's used more now since 1980 when we started to have a lot of the downfalls across the country. And it's being used more and more now. But what's happening in Hamilton with the old Stelco plant, U.S. Steel, is this is the second attempt that they've come into CCAA. The first attempt, when they did it, I was actually involved along with many others, as I was working in a plant called Stelware, and it was the sister plant of Stelco. But as we went through that, we found a buyer that would buy us Stelware, and it was ArcelorMittal. There was many other bidders that came in to buy Stelco, and then what happened was U.S. Steel was the owner at that particular time to come up with the best plan, and they made an agreement that they would continue on working, hire so many people, have so many tons of steel, and that came about. And then within a couple years later, the company reneged on their obligations and started shutting down the plants and stopping some of the work and selling off some of their products, their assets. So this has caused the company to get into an agreement with the government, it took them to court for reneging on that agreed to deal in 2007. So when the federal government took the U.S. Steel to court on several occasions and won in every one of them, an agreement, a private agreement was made. And we don't know what that agreement is. And when they say we don't know, the workers do not know, the public does not know. The only one that knows is U.S. Steel and the conservative government. And an agreement was made to continue on, and the plan was to end in 2015 on December 31st. But we don't know what the obligations were. So meanwhile, they filed for bankruptcy protection again. They have now turned around and continue to pay the pensioners their pension payments, but for some rare, unknown reason, which we've never seen before in CCAA, the court allowed them to stop making benefit payments to the pensioners.
Wow.
Sum it up kind of to date.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you could sort of outline that all for us. I mean, there's livelihoods at stake. you mentioned the benefits. There are people that rely on that pension, and also widows of people who rely on pensions. It's a serious issue in terms of the livelihood of people in the community. And as you pointed out, there have been the loss of benefits. I'm not sure the numbers. I've heard numbers bandied about 20,000 people have lost benefits in some form. Are they at risk of losing more, or is there light at the end of the tunnel for them?
No. So right now, they're at risk of even losing some more. It all depends the way this CCAA process is going to happen. They're still in court. They're still trying to restructure. But what we don't know is how they were allowed just to strike that out immediately, not even a month's notice or 2 months' notice, just immediately to wipe out the benefit plan that pensioners paid for and as deferred wages. And they just don't have to do anymore. And many of those people, and you're right, there's close to 20,000 pensioners, including their families that are affected. So they have lost that completely. And we're trying to understand what is going on. How did that happen? What did the agreement say? Now, it is interesting, Brendan, that I found that the next day when the judge had, ruled on this, that the conservatives came out and said that they were going to take U.S. Steel to court. I found that very, very strange, and I know we're going through an election, but what does that mean? Does that mean that you know they're not living up to their obligation? We don't know that, and we're trying to find out, can we open up the secret deal? Can we find out if their obligations were met? And if they weren't, how do we go about pursuing them to protect the actual pensioners and their families?
The secrecy of this whole issue is very frustrating. You've pointed out that these are deferred wages. And I wanted to take a moment just to look at that, because there are some comments in the Hamilton Spectator, letters to the editor perhaps, or similar forums, where people are not showing perhaps a complete understanding of this issue. I mean, this is not some random entitlement. This is wages that were negotiated as being future pensions. The money for these pensions has already been produced. The work was done, the steel was made and sold off, and these are simply deferred wages, and that's what people are not getting, their own deferred wages.
Absolutely, Brennan. So there's two types of pension plans. There's a defined benefit plan and there's a defined contribution plan. So on the defined benefit plan, that is where the company, I will negotiate an agreement with the company, and I'll just say me hypothetically, and I will, they will pay me an hourly wage, they will give me my vacation pay, they will do all this stuff. And normally on any company, if you have some benefits, the company will pay for the benefits, but you're costed for that on your hourly rates. So instead of me, say, getting $30 an hour, I might receive only $22 an hour, and $8 of that will go into my pension plan, into my insurance program, okay, for all my benefits. So, and I'm using the $8, so it could be $5. So that $5 an hour, the company has been taking off of me and not paying me directly. They take that money and they invest it. They invest it under the Pension Plan Act, the Ontario Pension Plan Act. And when they do that, they have to have a board of directors into that plan and show the Ontario government, this is what we're going to invest in. We have to work under these certain rules. And this is what the money that we have to pay. There's a payment plan that they have to pay based on the amount of pensioners, their ages, when they can start retiring. So those plans are being based on law. So when the actual benefit plan goes into effect, the company has to make sure that they put enough money in for me at the end of the day, so when I retire, that there's money into that pot that keeps me going, and it's a guaranteed amount. So if the company was to invest in something that was great, into that and use an assumption number of 6% interest, then they can keep on continuing on making payments, but not what they're actually paying, what they took out of me. So instead of paying the $5, they might only have to pay $3.50 because their investments were working, and they're kind of taking that other money as cash flow. But when they actually plan starts to lose money because their assumption rate of interest or their investments loses, the company took that risk, and they have to make that money up into a pot that is requested by the Ontario Pension Plan Act. So they have so many years to make sure that money gets back in there. So sometimes they have to apply for an exemption or a special payment plan because they can't do both at once. They're still trying to continue on an ongoing basis, plus they owe what they call a debt, and that has to be made up. So this is the company's responsibility. They took that risk. They wanted to take that risk, or we could have took the money ourselves and had it, and we did it. We'll take our own risk. But what happened, Brendan, was long time ago. The companies were huge. They were making great investments. There was large interest, but payments being made. Conrad Black was one of the greatest. That when the pot was overfunded, there was a fight about whose pension money that was. And then we found out that it was the companies. If it was overfunded, the company got to keep the money. If it was underfunded, the company got to pay the money. So that's where we are right now. And there's a huge debt that U.S. Steel has absorbed when they bought the plant, making the payments, and continues to lose where they're reinvesting under the Pension Plan Act.
Yes. And as you pointed out, there's legal agreements that are in place and attempts to get out of it, it would seem. I mean, the problem here, you've already mentioned it, is that benefits have already been lost and there's danger of further benefits being taken away. But at the other end of it, the company was talking about CCAA and bankruptcy, and the union intervened and was able to protect the union and the pensioners to some extent from having the loss of those benefits. And so for years now, pensioners have been receiving benefits, which are now being jeopardized. So the union intervention in looking at buyers and ways to solve the crisis that came about 2004, 2006 was a very interesting time. I know you were part of that along with Peter Leibovich and others. And a consequence of that was the U.S. Steel takeover there. And I'm just wondering, in looking back now, what are your feelings about the U.S. Steel deal? And how do you feel it's affected the pension plan overall?
Well, that's a very good question. So because when the first bankruptcy came in, the union was part of the agreement. The union knew, and all the creditors, everybody knew what was going to happen along with the government, the Canada Investment Act, of how we were going to proceed. There was an agreement made. And then there was obligations that were owed by U.S. Steel under the Canada Investment Act that they just weren't going to come in and bulldoze the company and take all the assets away and down into the United States. That's what the protection was supposed to give us here in Canada. But what happened was within 2 years, the U.S. Steel blamed a downfall in the steel industry and basically stated they wanted cutbacks, you know, during the contract times, and they were locking the workers out. They were shutting down some of their machinery. So it was very, very difficult. But when they weren't living up to their obligations, that's when there was pressure put on by the union to the federal government and saying that they are not keeping up to their word. As I said earlier, the federal government at that particular time took U.S. Steel to court for not living up to the obligations they said they were going to do. Something happened. Something happened that nobody knows. Everybody knew what the agreement was at the beginning, but nobody knows what this secret agreement was. And apparently it was done in confidentiality. The U.S. Steel has made an agreement they will continue on. What they were going to continue on with, we don't know. We don't know if they're to make fulfill their obligations of making sure all the benefits were paid until 2015, if the pension plan was to be, payments were to be kept on going till 2015. Those are all the things that were supposed to be happening from the beginning. But right. We don't know what's happened. So because now the benefits have gone, I understand that the pension payments are being paid for the workers that are working at this particular time, but not for the remainder debt of the pensioners that belong. There's no more actual payments being made.
It seems that the confidentiality of that agreement has been a major issue for you because you haven't been able to see where things are going or what deals might have been modified. So you can see that the union has done a lot of things to try to protect and preserve those pensions, and there's been a number of actions in this city and surrounding this city and former Stelco. But obviously the government has a major role to play in this. And you've pointed out the frustration many have experienced as a result of confidentiality and other issues. Now we've got, you know, a new government, new federal government in there, and people are wondering if that changes the game. I'm wondering, could the Trudeau and Wynne governments help out the steel pensioners in any way?
Well, we believe, and I believe that we can, that the government has a big role to play in this. Now, during the election, it came up to, you know, like I said earlier, the Conservatives wanted to, or had threatened to take U.S. Steel back to court. The Liberal government ran on the platform that it would, wants to investigate what's going on with the secret deal and open it up. And so did the NDP. And we feel that there shouldn't be a secret agreement. If there was taxpayers' money being used, which there was, to fund some of that pension fund, it should be transparent and it should be open. There should be, how could a company go into bankruptcy protection and the workers, knowing that there was the original agreement wasn't lived up to, but a secret agreement was made after that, but they don't know what the secret agreement was made to and who made that on whose behalf. So they have a right. Otherwise, they would not be able to go in there and try to find a plan to restructure this company, a fair plan, because they don't know what they're up against. They don't know why the company is doing this. They don't know who allowed them to not make any payments, if that's the case. And if somebody did alter that plan, the original plan, okay, they should be responsible for whatever's happened to this end.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
in this case, it might be the federal government.
The company that you're dealing with at any particular time is obviously a huge, huge, huge factor. And I know that looking at buyouts and things like that has been a strategy in the past that has produced at least temporary solutions or results. So is there a company in the wings that might restart production at the former Stelco?
No, I mean, in the bankruptcy proceedings, obviously there's always people looking to find out if they can buy the assets. You know, there's value in this company. There still is value. And everybody has been kind of snooping around and kicking at the heels there. But basically there's a large debt, and we don't know what that real debt number is yet. And I'm sure whoever would come in does not want to take the liability on. Or is there maybe they can take a section of it. You know, that's something that's unknown at this time. But somehow, if the worst case scenario, Brendan, happened, and the company went bankrupt and just broke up, of course the pension plan would have to be wound up, which means whatever is funded in there, and just say hypothetically it was 80% funded, then people would start receiving 80% of their pension instead of the 100% as they negotiated.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well,
and that's the fear, Brendan. That's the fear. And if I can just add to you that the city of Hamilton has come a long way of trying to put pressure on with the CCAA proceedings and to the federal government as we made the steel committee. But I have personally have asked, along with the mayor, the Ministry of Industry, to open up that or whatever the agreement is. We're told to go ask U.S. Steel, and when we ask U.S. Steel, U.S. Steel says go ask the federal government. That was happened just before the election.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the confidentiality was snuck in like that, but it's also very good what the union has been able to achieve, what labor has done in the city, which is to gain the cooperation of the municipal government in some respects and get that issue out there and showing that there's concern among that level of government here, and you were able to lobby to some extent the federal government. Now, there's more that could be done with regard to the federal government, and I guess we could talk about goals or hypotheticals. I know you've been working very hard on the issue. If your party had, you know, formed a majority government, what are the kind of things you would envision as being possible for a federal government to do in order to help U.S. Steel pensioners?
Well, first of all, I would make this a priority issue And we were going to do that if we were elected in power. But what I have done is I've already come out with the media statement demanding that the Liberal government live up to their promises and open up this agreement. So basically, we got to find out if it's legal to open up the agreement. Can it be out there? We got to look at those legal matters, or could be the more damage. If there can be, open up and make this thing public, and make sure that everybody has the right ammunition when they're going to court and they're making those battles and there's claims that the pensioners are protected. The federal government has a huge role to play in this. And as a pension critic, I'm going to be fighting it at in the House of Parliament that they act on this quickly and swiftly to make sure that these people, our pensioners, are protected going into this deadline, whatever it's going to be. Is it December 31st, 2015, or is it as long as they're in CCAA with the stay of proceedings? Somebody has to put, this is a critical matter. They have to make this a priority, and we have to work quickly and swiftly to protect our pensioners in Hamilton and their families, to make sure that they are kept, they are given what they worked for all their lives. And it'd be almost like you took the money, you saved all your money, Brendan, all your life, put it in the bank, and the bank stole it, and you can't do nothing about it.
Well, the steel workers are responsible. They did their part. They did the work. They made a legal agreement to save the money, put it aside for the future, for a rainy day, as they say. That's what's called being responsible. And now I guess we just need the federal government, the various levels of government in this country, to be responsible as well, stand up for the legal agreements and the pensioners. I'm glad you're getting the word out there, putting out press releases and more. And I hope that gets out there and that people read this information. You know, we need to set precedents that workers be protected, legal agreements, pensions be protected. There are livelihoods resting on it. There's futures resting on it, and the working conditions of young workers today. So I'm glad you've been hustling on this, and it sounds like you're getting there right out of the gate. So thanks.
And Brendan, just to let you know, and people, your viewers out there should know very, which is important, is that and the Pension Plan Act, I mean, we have a Canada Investment Act. But there's an easy way of doing this. I know there's a lot of investors. People will say that they'll scare off the investors. But having the workers as under the CCAA program as secured creditors along with the banks and the government, they have value in the company. They're the ones that are actually making this deal. But they need to be protected instead of them down in the bottom of the totem pole. But that's the Canada Investment Act. But when it comes down to the pensions, it's provincial laws. And if they're going to be making, companies going to be making agreements that are outside of the actual pension, rules, and ask for special exemptions, that they must make sure that they pay into that and keep the for protection, or the liabilities or the assets that go from that company are sold and put into the pension plan, rightfully so for the pensioners.
Absolutely. We need to get this straightened out, and it needs to be a more transparent process than it is. And as you say, the people involved in the company, the majority of the workforce, the people producing the steel, should have a greater say and visibility in this whole process. So I'm glad you're able to work towards that goal. So, Scott, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the program with us today.
No problem. I enjoy it, and I wish all your viewers good luck.
We'll keep an eye out for those press releases. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
And, of course, that was Scott Duvall, newly elected Member of Parliament, Hamilton Mountain, a longtime fighter for steelworkers and for the rights and benefits that were earned, not just in the particular case of steelworkers, but in the legal framework that's out there to protect workers. And I'm glad this city is known for having politicians across the board who have been known to really get out there and represent their constituents and be a voice in Ottawa in particular. Let's see if this is a time for change, if this is a time for positive change. Maybe there can be the positive developments that Scott and others in the city are working for. All right, well, we got to take a break, and we'll be back with some new items.